Bum, 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 bum. Welcome to Hammer Don.
There it is.
Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I am Tone Diggs, joined by the still hot, the still Monday night doubleheader winning Pat McAfee.
How's it going?
Along with his desk mate, dropper of nukes and stats and trends, Mr. Bubba Gumpino.
Good day, Tony.
The table.
Good day to you, the table. And joining us from Jersey, Philly, somewhere around their area, former NFL GM, former NFL front office, former assistant to the coaching staff for the New England Patriots, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, writes for The Athletic, the Daily Coach, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Hello, guys.
Michael, how we doing?
There we
how
go.
We doing, pal?
We should just call Pat Hots, you know,
dude,
and then Gump. I love the picture of the sports book out in Vegas. It's awesome. We all need to go. We should do it. We should do a
that's
trip.
That's your spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I'm supposed to go the opening, the grand opening, in at the end of the month, but I don't think I can do it with my schedule.
You wearing a T-shirt in that pool?
No. I grew up on the Jersey Shore, bro. I don't wear no T-shirt.
Hey, that's for the Bennies. The Bennies would do that.
Yeah, I mean, I know what to do at the beach. I mean, I'm not be in great shape. I'm not wearing a Speedo, but I can tell you I know what to do.
Hey,
you know,
plus your pie's on. You got to show off that beautiful olive skin that sun just
I can get dark as anybody, you know. It's a good thing.
All right, let's get this started. Mitt, do you have the results so that we can put those up? I don't know if he does it. There they are.
Oh,
Lombardi, you're 6-6. I'm at 11-9. Pat is at 15-7.
Let's go.
And then Gumpy is at 13-10. I mean, those are beautiful numbers. Beautiful
numbers. This
is a week,
boys. Though. I think somebody's going to go 5-0, 3-0 this week.
I love really good this feeling. Board, Mike.
Really good feeling about this week. There's some news that happened this week that I wanted to get everyone's opinion on the betting angle of it, starting with Dwayne Haskins being demoted to potentially fourth string because he was the practice squad guy was getting reps over him yesterday at practice. Does Dwayne Haskins benching make you more likely to pick the Washington football team moving forward in your bets?
I think it helps their offense. Yeah, I think it helps get a little bit more of a passing game. There's no doubt he couldn't handle the blitzes. We talked about it last week when they played Baltimore, you know. And I'm not saying it's all Dwayne Haskins' fault because I think their offense, you know, is not very good by design. And maybe that's because Haskins couldn't handle it. There's a lot of disconnect coming out of the building in terms of his work habits, his commitment, which is really they really answered that because. What is the number one thing a backup quarterback has to be able to do? He's got to know what to do with no reps. He's got to be able to know the playbook without ever practicing. He's got to understand at a moment he could go in there and start playing really well. And usually those are the guys that, you know, can survive without ever practicing. And I don't think that's Haskins, nor would I think that like Mitch Trubisky's a backup. I don't think that's him either. If he has to go in tonight with no reps, oh, gosh, watch out.
Whoa, you don't think just the athlete and Mitch can figure it out? And my big thing for backup quarterbacks, and this was early on last year, I thought this. Case Keenum was starting. Dwayne Haskins was just drafted. He had a draft party that was big. He was charging people to get into or whatever, you know. Then he gets drafted to his hometown team or whatever, however it goes, right? Case Keenum starting, and on the national TV games, there was numerous occasions where Dwayne Haskins was nowhere near where Case Keenum was. Whenever Case Keenum was on the sideline and like going through film and going through his tablet, Dwayne Haskins was down by the defense with like a Gatorade towel over his head. It's like normally the backup quarterback is alongside the starting quarterback, like helping the starting quarterback. Like I saw this. Did you see this? Or trying to learn as much as he can from the starting quarterback just because he's a young quarterback trying to do that. So I had a lot of questions. Then we learn now, though, that whole building was basically burning around there. So him standing on the other side, there probably wasn't a single person that was like, hey, you should probably be doing this. And maybe you didn't know that you should be doing that. And nobody told him that. But the big conversation piece now at this point is like, he was named captain. Okay. They bench him after starting him here in his second season. Ron Rivera's demoted him to three. They'll put a guy with a hamstring for a shin in before him. They're saying that his era is over there. And we have no idea what Dwayne Haskins is because I don't think he was ever really put in a position to ever succeed, I don't think. I think that's how kind of everybody feels. Don't you kind of look at it that way too, kind of?
You know, I wasn't a huge Dwayne Haskins fan coming out of college. I thought he was like Jacoby Brissett in the sense that he needs to see the receiver break open before he'll throw the football.
Okay.
He's what I call a 7-on-7 quarterback. When it's 7-on-7 and he can hold the ball that extra eighth of a second, he sees the receiver break, he bangs it. Now, Jacoby's one of the greatest human beings of all time. He's tremendous. He'll work hard. He'll do everything. He's a leader. Haskins, I mean, from my own experience with Dwayne, I was asked to go out to the Mamba Academy not this past January, the year he came out. And I've done it every year. And I would speak to all their draft-eligible players at the Academy. And Haskins happened to be one of them. Well, you know, he's 20 minutes late for my presentation. He makes an appointment with me the next day to go over the Q&A at the Combine. And he stiffs me. Past performance predicts future achievement.
And that's one of those things, by the way. I was at the Senior Bowl. They're like, if a team asks to meet with you, this is obviously, and you know this, but you 15 minutes early for this. This is a job interview. You need to be the best representation of yourself at all times. And if he did that to you at the Mamba Academy, I would assume that he potentially maybe did that to others as well. But I don't know. I just feel like this is a tough. What was the expectation for Dwayne Haskins? I mean, he has nobody around him. They're a team with no name. But now that we're hearing a little bit more backstory, it's like, oh, this is probably why Ron Rivera was like, all right, this guy's late to a meeting. This guy's doing this. Let's get him. But why does he have the C on his chest then? I don't know.
That's a really good question. But look, everybody says he's got no players around. Well, Gardner Minshew didn't have any players last year, and he played okay. You know, and so, you know, you think Joe Burrow's not getting the crap beat out of him? He's playing okay. Justin Herbert, he's throwing the ball to receivers. I have to go look up, you know, and he's playing okay. I think we make way more out of that than there is. It's the quarterback makes the supporting cast better, not the supporting cast makes the quarterback better.
Yeah, I mean, look at the guys Brady did it with for how long, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's the quarterback rate. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You know, I heard him on your show this week about how his bad years are everybody's good years. Look, there's no denying he did not play up to the Aaron Rodgers back in 11 and 10. And well, now he is. But the guys he's throwing the ball to, everybody said last year were terrible. This year they're making plays for him. He's rising the level to him. I think everybody's wrong with that. You know, Haskins has nobody playing with him. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you can make other players better too, you know. And so I think there's a lot of things going on there. But I'm with you. The captain thing, why would you make him the captain if he didn't exemplify everything you believe in?
That's my big thing, because you see the C on him. You're assuming he's going to meetings on time. He's putting in the extra work. He's whatever. And maybe the Zoom calls, he was like first one in the Zoom call. I don't know. I don't know how you do it. But when you see the C on him, in my eyes, I automatically wipe off everything that could potentially have the tendencies of the thing you just discussed. Like, okay, late to meetings, loud. Doesn't take coaching like that. If he has a C on him, like, okay, so all that can't be true then. Cause I don't know much about Dwayne Haskins, but then you hear the story out of the Mamba Academy. You're like, wait a minute. Is this, you don't know. You never, I don't know.
Well, and everyone said he came into camp in shape this year. So like they said that they could tell there was a noticeable difference about him this year, but maybe he just didn't progress on the field like Ron Rivera wanted to see him progress. And then he's got a guy in Kyle Allen who last year started, I believe, 5-0 for him. So on that side, Michael, like, Kyle Allen did start very well last year, but then did the defensive coordinators just study the tape and then figure out Kyle Allen? Do you think that's what happened last year?
I think they got to him. You know, and here's where I think Haskins gets it. You know, and I talk about this all the time when I talk to players. What every guy that enlists into the Navy SEALs program, the 150 guys that join the SEALs, they all can do the push-ups, they all can do the sit-ups, they all can run the mile, they can do it all. They would not get to where they are if they couldn't do that. This what separates the 25 that make it over the 125 who don't is that the 25 that make it can do it every single day. They never tire. They can keep going and going and going. They never wear down. Whereas the other 125 mentally are just not strong enough. I see Dwayne as one of those 125. He's got the gifts, but he just doesn't realize what it really takes to be a great player and do it over and over and over.
Oh, Hey, Buds, by the way, is no joke. I'd be a part of those 125. I'd be a part of the 125.
I mean, look, I wouldn't even qualify, but my point is you can't tell. Like, they all say when you go to Bud, the guy who's the best athlete, the guy who flashes the first week of camp, he's always the guy that never makes it.
I met a I mean, this is a gambling podcast going a different direction, but I met a guy who was an Army or a Navy fullback that went on to be a Navy SEAL, and he came and talked to the team, and his big thing was like, know your why. Why are you doing what you're doing? And he had a big tribe, like, hey, you got to build your tribe, because a tribe isn't a family, but it's people that are, you know, have come together, like this whole thing. And it was incredibly inspirational. He was like 250 though, like a 6'1", 250 guy. And we were like, he'd get this incredible speech. And we're like, okay, yeah, cool. First question was like, how the fuck did you make it through? But you were like 260 pounds. You would assume that they'd be a lot smaller. And he did that same exact thing you just said there. He was like, I was never first, by the way. I was never, ever first. But there wasn't a day where I was like, this is going to beat me. Every single day I was going to show up and I was going to win or whatever. And there is a lot of that whenever it comes to being a quarterback. A lot of people can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can do all that shit. But it's every day you got to be like, I'm going to be the best guy to ever play the position. And that's quite a commitment at the most important position in all of sports.
No doubt. You know, and you know, Peyton, I mean, you were around him. I mean, you think he'd never had he came to work every day like he had never worked the day before.
Tom, same thing, I'd assume. I never saw him work, but I'd assume he's the same exact way.
Same way. I mean, Tom, today's Thursday, he's playing, but typically on Thursday, he's got the trainer out there holding the goddamn band so he can do drops.
So with the gambling angle of that, Washington football team is +7.5 at home to the Rams. When you talk about games that you just kind of eliminate, is this one that you eliminate because you just don't know what you're going to get from Washington?
Yeah, I mean, initially my reaction were to take the Rams, but, you know, and then I start thinking about if Chase Young plays, which it sounds like he's on track to play, that defensive front can give Jared Goff problems. You watched that Giant tape last week. Jared Goff was terrible. I mean, he makes a great – They blow a coverage to Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. And that saves them. I mean, that just flat out saves them. They brought a slot blitz. They played a zone behind it. It was a zone pressure. And, you know, they were confused, and he got behind the linebacker. There's no free safety back there. And Kupp just ran to the end zone. So, you know, and the one thing about Washington is you can't really run the ball on them very well. And really, Goff needs a good running game to make all that play action stuff work. If he can't run it, he can't carry the team. So, I mean, this game's off the board for me tomorrow. I'm not picking it. But, you know, my numbers say to take LA Rams, but those numbers with Washington are kind of fraudulent with Haskins in there.
Shout out Pat also for obviously knowing that the Giants were going to cover last week and keep that close and that Goff was going to play terrible.
You knew when they saw him jump on that fumble at training camp and celebrate that team was going to come together at some point and not lose by two scores.
Next thing I got on the board is Billy O. Stooge is gone. Billy O'Brien. Pat and I have the same thinking here. Earlier in the week, I was probably going to take the Jags if it was still Bill O'Brien, because that team was just a dead team in water and they were giving 7.5 points to the Jaguars. Now, I'd be very afraid to take the Jaguars just because I think this team's going to be 0-4. They're going to be playing loose. They're going to be feeling great with old Romeo. Are you in a similar position here, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, my number said it was a pick'em game, right? So I would have, because it was a pick'em game, I should have taken the 6 in Jacksonville. But, I mean, when you watch Houston play last week against Minnesota, their effort, their intensity, they are one of the worst teams. So what I always try to measure is your ability to execute as a football team. And the best way to do that is rushes and completions. You take that rushing attempts and you add it to the pass completions. And that number should be, on offense, it should be over 53. On defense, it should be under 48. And when you have that, you basically, as a coach, because remember, when you're in football, you're in the veterinarian business, the patient doesn't scream to you and say, oh, we need a better left tackle. Oh, we need a better right guard. You know, you got to diagnose the team, right? And rushes and completions help you in terms of not who's the best team, but who's executing the best. The Texans are 32nd on defense and 31st on offense. They're just horrible at execution. And you see it on the tape. and yet they're really talented. They really are. Offensively, mm-hmm. they should not be as bad as they are. So I'm laying off this one. If you held a gun to my head and said I got to pick it, I'm taking Houston.
That's what, Pat, you're taking Houston.
I'm
right?
taking Houston, yeah. For all the things that you said, I just think you get inspired whenever there's change at the top of where you're at. That's a natural reaction, I think, in every profession, including sports, when you could potentially not like somebody, and then that person's gone, and now we're hearing stories of hero J.J. Watt turning and the defensive coordinator turning on him publicly in front of the entire team, and then more things happening. I just feel like that team will play inspired around Romeo Crennel and kind of feel as if they're in a much better spot than they were a week ago. And I think that type of team could potentially come out and dog walk the Jaguars. But also, I mean, Joe Dirt aside down there in Jacksonville, they could completely just unravel here and lose, and that could also happen. But I'm going with the first one because I'm an optimistic human. I am betting the Texans -6.5 against the Jaguars.
I wouldn't argue with you, Pat, because I think there was a genuine a dislike the way they played. Here's why, and I wrote this for The Athletic. Billy O'Brien is a fiery personality. He's Irish, and he can fly off the handle in a second. And his team played nothing like that. You know, your coach, the head coach, you have to you should, as a head coach, your team should adopt it, your personality, tough-minded, gritty, whatever it is. They should adopt that because you're the one talking about it every single day. And the Texans were nothing like that at all.
Pat, I know Bruce was technically an interim coach, but that was a completely different situation. Have you ever had an interim coach because of a firing?
No, not because of firing. Bill Belichick, or not Bill Belichick. We're not playing for Bill Belichick. No, Rich Rodriguez. He left and went to Michigan. Yeah. We had Bill Stewart for the interim head coach for the Fiesta Bowl, and we all rallied behind him, and it was a very good moment. And that was pretty similar situation, I think, here, where I don't know Romeo Crennel. I think a lot of people like him. I'd assume his players mm-hmm. like him. You kind of play for the guy. I don't know how long it'll last, okay? I just think the original juice that they're going to get from this change, I think, is definitely going to happen on Sunday.
The Texans have played very good teams so far as well.
True.
Jags is by far the worst team they've played this year.
Yeah, I just put the bet on.
No doubt. And it's reflective in the line, Gump. I mean, you know, what 0-14? I mean, how remarkable is this? A 1-3 team who should be 0-4 is favored by 9.5.
That Cowboys line.
And an 0-4 team is favored by 6. I mean, seriously.
I'm glad you brought that up, Michael, because, like, the next thing I want to talk about, Gummy, how many big
there's
lines are there?
11 out of 15 games are over 6, the spread.
So, and then I went through, and the website that I look at, like, it tells you kind of where the big money is and tends to tell you where the sharp action is. So out of those games that have greater than 7-point spreads, Raiders at Chiefs, Eagles at Steelers, Jets versus Cardinals, Giants at Cowboys, which we just mentioned, and then Vikings at Seahawks. And I guess you could throw Broncos, Patriots in there. We'll see what happens there. Do you like any of the dogs in those games, either the Raiders, Eagles, Jets, Giants, Broncos, or Vikings? Any of you guys? We'll start with Michael.
I really like the Eagles. I like the Giants a lot. I like the Eagles and the Giants. I like those two teams. I mean, I think Pittsburgh's a really good team. But I had this game. I thought this game should be around 5, 5.5, and it's what is it now? Is it
7? Last time I checked,
it's 7 less, and I think eventually it will. There's only 21% of money on Philly, which I like. So I like them, and I like the Giants. I mean, I think that this should be a 6-point game, and it's and I'm getting 9.5. Am I getting 9.5 or am I getting
9.5?
But
yeah.
It's moving. It's at -120 at 9.5.
Correct.
Right? So that means it's moving.
Yeah, it will be
moving to 10 probably.
What do you think about this Raiders-Chiefs line, Mike?
I'm waiting for the injury report. If Chris Jones plays, I really like the – if he doesn't play, I really like the Raiders.
Plus 12 is a lot of points.
Ran the ball on him really well last week.
All right. Who was it? So the Chiefs didn't play great against the Chargers, and then they came back and they played incredible about the Ravens – against the Ravens. I'm not saying they didn't play great against the Patriots, but the Patriots hung with them, I believe – Besides you, longer than a lot of people thought they would. You think the Chiefs maybe just potentially have a bounce back week against this Raiders defense that always struggles against them?
I mean, the Raider defense scares the hell out of me. There's no doubt. I mean, look, Mahomes had 2 interceptions dropped last week. Mm-hmm. One that was called back by Corrente, you know, so that's 3 right there. I mean, look, I didn't think they played well at all. I think the Patriots, they played a really light box. And was able to play and stop the run with Helaire, with Allaire, it running in there. I mean, they played him as, I mean, other than the Brian Hoyer factor, they played him really well.
He really hasn't. Allaire hasn't really done much since week one.
He was the focal point week one, though. He hasn't been the focal point since then, I don't think, right? I mean, we're watching the same game.
The Patriots basically dared him to run him. They played a six-man box with a safety down in there and said, look, you've got to call runs. We're going to, and they held up against him. I mean, they held up. You know, you got to take your medicine one way or the other. If you want to play a seven-man front, it's like the old run-and-shoot teams. This is the fascinating thing about the run-and-shoot teams. Everybody thought they needed to play a six-man box against the run-and-shoot team when they would only block five guys anyway. It never really mattered. They would run the ball away from the sixth guy. So teams that started to defend the run-and-shoot much better ended up just playing a five-man box because you could end up cheating to the side of where you thought the run was going to go. It's the same thing that happened the other night on Monday night. The Patriots played a six-man front. They kind of cheated where they thought the thing was, and they fit the runs really well.
That's all. That's the second highest total of the week, Mike, at 56.
I know, but do you think Derek Carr is going to be able to do this? I mean,
see, that's the thing. This matchup last year, the total was 49 and 38, and the Raiders have been under in 14 straight divisional road games.
Oh, boom!
Yeah, see, I think there's a lot to that divisional stuff. Like the Giants, Cowboys. Look at those, or even like just Cincinnati, Baltimore. They're 5-5 the last 10 games between those two teams. The last two times Cincinnati's played in Baltimore, it's been a 3-point and a 6-point game.
I love Cincy, especially so.
While you guys were talking there and we were going through all those big spreads, I just put max bet. I did not know Cincinnati was getting 12.5 against Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's been out for 2 days now with a knee. They're saying he's going to play or whatever. I guess we'll find out if sitting out a couple of days made him fresher and better. But 12.5, that Bengals team has played everybody tough. Like they've played everybody tough at this point. I guess the revenge after the Chiefs game they're still thinking about, but that seems like a lot of points.
Bengals are 3-1 against the spread this year.
Yeah, I mean, they played last week. I mean, I didn't think the Ravens played their best game last week against Washington, even though they covered it. If you had them at 13.5, they covered for it.
The Ravens at home, for whatever reason, do not cover the spread either. They're 4-12, their last 16 as a home favorite.
Well, there you go. Cincinnati, I mean, I'm going to take – that's the one I think I'm definitely going to take them.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I think
this
we all
be a clean sweep.
I think we all agree on that one, huh? Is it?
It might be our Browns pick like last week.
Here we go.
I could go all night with stats on that one, Mike.
Oh, the Bengals Ravens one?
Bengals 10-3 against the spread, their last 13 as a road dog. 10-4 against the spread, their last 14 road games. Ravens 5-11 against the spread, their last 16 home games. 4-12, their last 16 as a home favorite. Let's go.
Hey.
Let's go.
Hey, something to think about there. Before we move on, one of those big lines, Jets and Cardinals.
Man, that was awesome. We're all on the same page here.
Feels good.
And we're on the numbers side of this whole thing. It feels like we're really doing it. Hey, good for Hammer Dime.
Hey, good for Hammer Dime.
Good for us.
Does Flacco being in versus Darnold change your power rankings at all?
You know, I laid off this game. My numbers, I would have gone with the Jets in this one here. And I don't know what to think of Flacco. I know this. Pat can answer this probably better. But quarterbacks that have had bad backs struggle to come back.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know any quarterback that had a bad back.
Joe Montana's back was bad. I mean, they come back, but it's never quite the same. The back injury is problematic. You don't want to get hit anymore. I think that's the issue. The offensive line, now can the Cardinals hit him? I mean, Chandler Jones, who else? The Cardinals have not played well in the last 2 weeks, especially offensively. I mean, Murray's numbers have not been good other than running the ball.
Is that on Cliff at all, Mike? Like, is the book out right now on them?
I think he can't. From talking to people in the league, he can't see. They know he can't see down the field. So everything's outside the numbers. And it's becoming a problem for him. And he overthrows the ball inside, much like Mayfield. I mean, much like Mayfield. I mean, this is what's going to be interesting about Tua. You know, Tua's the same size. He's 6 feet tall. You know, Justin Herbert, he has no problem seeing anybody.
When you general managers back in the day made the decision of what NFL quarterbacks look like, right? 6'4", at least. They're these big guys. They can throw the ball. And that is kind of how it's always been. And it's changing, right? Drew Brees debunked that theory, everybody said. And now
Russell Wilson,
and you got Baker playing, and now Kyler and Tua potentially. Is it kind of make you, like, whenever you see Russell Wilson and Drew have success, are you like, oh, we were wrong on that? Or are those two outliers, you think, and undersized guys?
Oh, I think they're outliers, and here why. We know Drew Brees was a world-class tennis player in high school. Unique. I mean, I'm talking about a world-class tennis player. We know Russell Wilson was dominant in baseball, got drafted by the Yankees, and football.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, whereas same Baker Mayfield was a walk-on he's a good athlete. I'm not suggesting he's not, but we're talking about world-class athletes as opposed to good athletes. And I think that when you look at Tua, you know, he may be in the same – but he doesn't run like those guys do. Russell could run. And Russell has great instincts for the position. He just feels it. He knows when to move right or left. And he's hard as shit to tackle. How many times have you seen somebody tackle Russell Wilson easily? Never.
Very rare. Very rare.
Well, and like to your point, Michael, I mean, Kyler was a top 10 draft pick in – football and baseball, top five draft pick football and baseball. So, like, does that give you a better feeling about him, even though he's short?
Yeah, but then when I watch it, have you ever looked at him on the field compared to everybody else?
The last 2 weeks, Mike, I mean, he just doesn't look there. It's odd compared to the first two.
I mean, look at him when he's out there and the linemen are around him. He looks like Doug Flutie.
Fucking does.
I mean, he does, though. He does. I mean,
I bet you Kyler could drop kick if he had to, just like Doug.
His pads look big, too.
And Flutie was a great athlete. I just think he has a hard time seeing. And I think after 20 games, people get a read on you. And now, look, he can run, and it's dangerous. I mean, he took it up the middle against the Panthers, and, you know, everybody was chugging wind trying to catch up to him.
Even,
it was hard.
Even when they were 2-0, Mike, he only threw 3 touchdowns, had 5 picks the first 2 games as well.
Yeah, I know. They're winning with them on the ground. You got to stop their running game.
Where's this information?
The best with numbers. I mean, he's like the best point guard ever.
Yeah, he is.
He just sets you up.
He's unbelievable. But some of these numbers would be nice to know before you put in, like, your super boosts.
I've been on the cards the last 2 weeks. I can't do it.
To promote that yet or no?
Well, I don't think it's up yet. I'm not sure. I got a great tease because with these massive spreads, you can get some really good teases right now this weekend with the movement of 6 or 7 points. I got a great tease. I think it's going to have good odds on FanDuel. But I will say, Kyler Murray is a part of the said tease, and I don't like what I'm hearing from our Canadian knowledgeable friend back here.
If he's a part of your tease, that'll be the Cardinals to beat the Jets, and if they don't beat the Jets, they got big fucking problems.
Which, by the way, they probably do. We don't know if they do or not. We have no idea.
All right, let's get to the most important part of the show today, and that is the picks for tonight's game. Talk about tonight's game. The current line is 3.5. The Bears are getting 3.5 at home. 23% of the bets are on the Bears. 66% of the money is on the Bears. The total is 44.5. 44% of the bets are on the under, but 74% of the money is on the under. Michael, what are your thoughts on tonight's game in Chicago?
You know, my numbers say take the Bucks, but I really like the combination low ticket, high money. I love that. I think that's always something that I look at. I think Tampa playing on the short week is going to be hard.
Oh,
that, Michael, the reason you said that was, like, eye test numbers-wise. If you look at the numbers, eye test, everything in that nature says take the fucking Bucks.
Right.
But the ticket count says take the Bears. So it's a very, very, very confusing situation for tonight's bettors.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I don't play Thursday night games, but the short week, I think is going to hurt them. I think the you know, you got Mike Evans is going to go out there, Scotty Miller's going to play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this pass rush of Chicago can really make a difference. I really do.
You think they'll be able to run the ball, the Bucs, at all?
I think with Hicks in there, it's hard to run the ball on them. Hicks is a really good player. So,
and there's no chance the Bears are running. They don't have one rushing touchdown this entire season.
Matt Nagy would rather run a triple reverse to get a half a yard than just try to smack somebody in the mouth. I mean, Matt Nagy's like the kid who knows there's a bully on the way to school, so he'll walk 8 blocks out of the way to avoid the bully.
You got to meet O'Doyle sometime, man. You're going to have to meet him at some point.
Sometime, man. You got to walk down that street.
At some point.
He refuses to do it. You know, we'll run triple reverse. We'll get a half a yard. I mean, it's, you're in Chicago. Punch somebody in the goddamn mouth.
Yeah, you have to, by the way.
You're 1,000% right. Table, you guys got any picks for tonight?
Yeah, we do play Thursday nights, don't we?
Listen, I'm going to have a pick. I'm going to have a pick.
Oh, you're going to play?
Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, Dixie Digits, what do you got tonight on this Thursday night exclusive special
here? I wanted to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because
I know where you're going. I think I got something to support it.
Oh.
I wanted to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because when you look up the numbers, they're just, it seems like a better football team. Okay. But then the ticket situation happened and the lines went from 5.5 to 3.5. So I'm staying away from the side. I am taking another fucking under tonight. Okay.
Tony, let me tell you something.
You go first and then I'll tell you why I'm taking the under.
It's no fun.
Prime time.
I love it.
Games you're losing,
this
though.
Year.
I don't care.
Are 8-6 to the under.
8-6 to the under. Okay. Let me tell you something. Chicago's defense, number 5 in opponent's point per play. Number 7 in opponent yard per play. Number 3 in opponent third down converges. Number 1 in opponent red zone scoring.
Oh, that's a problem.
Number 6 in opponent yards per pass. And number 7 overall in DVOA on defense. Tampa's defense, number 4 in opponent yards per play, number 10 in opponent third down conversion, number 9 in opponent red zone scoring, number 2 in opponent yard per rush, and number 2 in all total defensive DVOA. 39% of the tickets are on the under, 70% of the money's on the under. I, Tony Diggs, Tony Unders,
Tony
is on the under 44.5 tonight.
Good for you, Tony.
Good for me.
Good for you making a bet on Thursday night.
Happy, Tony.
Michael, how do you feel about that under?
I don't like it at all.
Fuck! I just put my bet in.
I don't like it. Here's why.
You think the Bears can score?
I don't think the Bears can score. I think on paper it makes really great sense.
Great.
But last week on paper it made tremendous sense.
Well, those teams stunk.
Bro, unders are no fun, and I just put a bet in because of what you just did there with your little.
I love defense. I love defense. I love the punters.
Yeah, you do.
I'd love to see the punter trot out there.
Yeah, you will.
I
don't like what just happened there.
What I watched the Bears offense do last week against the Colts was fucking terrible, who also have an incredible defense. And I think Tampa's defense is good. What happened to them last week against Chargers scares me a little bit. But I think the Chargers are much better offense than the Bears.
I think that was an anomaly.
I think Nick Foles plays better tonight. Go ahead, Gump. What you think? What do you got? What do you got on this one?
Oh, Lombardi. You don't have anything to say about the on paper under thing? You don't have any?
Look, I said it makes perfect sense. I'm not an under or over player.
Yeah,
so I'm the last person
either.
To ask on
I
that. I think that both defenses are really good, but I have a feeling in this game, you know, because of the short week, the reason if they're not calling holding and the short week, you know, the offenses are going to always play better. It's just nature. There's no physicality to the game. But I agree with what Tone said. I mean, Nagy's offense, he'd have to line it up at the 10, 15 times for him to score 28 points.
Governor,
I agree with that.
The Bears aren't great on Thursday nights, Mike. 4-11-1 against the spread their last 16 games.
Okay.
Dude.
Tampa Bay 4-1 against the spread their last 5 games on the road. 4-0 against the spread their last 4 as a road favorite. And this is not a stat. Tom Brady revenge game on Nick
True.
Foles.
True.
Bucks -3.5. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. And the table agrees. Bucks -3.5. And I also just put a bet in for the under, so you're not alone in your
Thank
misery
you.
Tonight.
Thank you.
I would not like to make that. Yeah, fuck it. Put it as an official bet. I got Bucks -3.5. The table agrees, which normally means what?
That's
winners.
We win. That's awesome. Good for us making picks.
Nice job, guys.
Hey, one last thing before we leave.
And I will say this to support what you said. I took Chicago, but my numbers say the Bucks should win by 7.
But did you just make a pick right there? You said you took Chicago.
No, I said I went with
That's
you.
His Thursday lean.
That's my Thursday night leaning.
Should we put that in the record?
Yeah.
Don't
I'll tell what I'll do. Here's what I'm going to do. Put it in the record. I'm going to go with Tampa. I'm going to go with my numbers.
Let's yes! go with Tampa. Trust your power rankings, Lombardi.
Trust the rankings.
Table.
All right. I'm going to trust them here. I'm going to trust them.
One last thing tonight. There's a college game tonight. Tulane and Houston. Houston's a 6.5-point favorite. They have not played a game yet this year. Tulane's played 4 games. I'm taking Tulane strictly because they've played 4 games and Houston hasn't played 0. Is that a logical thinking or no?
It is, but eventually talent takes over. It's good for the first half. You know,
all right, I'll take the first half.
Yeah.
First half Tulane.
Maybe first half Tulane.
What if Houston comes out guns blazing because they've had so many games delayed and they're like itching to get on the table? Oh, I'm staying away. College is tough. I mean, I've been winning on game day, obviously. College is much more difficult to pick than the NFL. I mean, it is.
All right, Michael, we appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Official picks tomorrow,
pal. Hey, you picked the Bucks tonight.
I did. I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing. I'm just going to go with my power rankings.
You should?
Yeah. Let's market the power rankings.
I'm not going to overthink it.
Here we go.
I'll see you. All right, see ya. All right. I think we're all on the same side. Like, I didn't take the Bucks, but I think the Bucks are. Hey, I took the under. I did not make a pick tonight.
You're right. You did.
That's good.
I mean, I'm gonna lose.
But you did a lot of things about the Bears.
No, I didn't. I've been on the top of the mountain screaming that this team fucking stinks.
Yeah, but you did the whole low ticket, high cash thing, didn't you?
Well, that's my job here.
Yeah, you're right. You're
just no pick sixes tonight, Tom.
Don't need them.
Don't help them score. They can't score themselves.
Don't need them.
Let a punt come. Let a punt happen. Do what you got to do.
Listen, how's the punters in this game?
Bradley Pinion, he's got a massive leg. Could be problematic in Chicago if it's breezy, though. I think that's kind of always been his thing.
Here's also another thing to the under. Huh. Suck up, I guess. He missed one last week, but he got to figure it out.
He pulled it. Yeah, they straightened it
out. Who's kicking balls in Chicago right now?
Cairo Santos, isn't he?
He's known to miss a ball or two.
Well, that's why he's at Chicago Bears now. He's been in a lot of different places, but he seems to be hitting a good ball. I think he missed last week too, though. I think he missed a kick as well. I think he pulled it to the left, I believe. Yeah, so you're right. There's a lot of misses potentially, but it's Thursday night football.
Hey, did you watch that entire Bears-Colts game last week?
I'm excited
for Allen Robinson to get a national spotlight. He balled out last week.
He's very good. And when everybody was talking about extending him a couple weeks ago, a lot of people were like, well, I don't know who it is. And for good reason, right?
Because Jacksonville.
And the offense of both those teams is not one that is getting spotlighted heavily on a lot of things. But, yeah, there's highlights making its way around the internet that are like excited for tonight. He's a moss. He will go moss somebody if he has
1,000%. We can't thank you enough for tuning in.
We got a visit. Here.
Who is it?
Just Connor here, Tony.
Can't wait.
I just thought I'd throw my hat in the ring here.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I felt good about this. Chicago's defense special teams to score a touchdown tonight, +700.
Oh. What do you got that? Because Tommy's been throwing pick sixes.
And we always talk about the two sides of the wheel. We always talk about how the defense works on a string. D-line secondary. What do we know about Chicago from Darius Butler? They have a tremendous secondary. And what do we know about Khalil Mack and Mr. Hicks up front? They can pressure the quarterback. Brady's going to have to get it out quick, and I assume those Chicago secondaries are licking their chops, and they want to get in the end zone, and they want to get Club Dub going. So at +700, those odds are too juicy, my friend.
Connor, did you get a +2,300 last week? I remember you talking about it on the...
So it's funny you say that, Tony, because I did get the first half. Mecole Hardman to score in the Kansas City Chiefs to win, +500 hit. Yeah. And then the parlay second half, Jamal Williams to score in the Green Bay Packers to win.
Got stuffed on the goal line, didn't he?
As we recall, got stuffed on the goal line on the second possession. So although those +2,300 odd parlay was, inches away from inches, hitting, I feel great about this one.
Bat was ready to go nuts, too, if Jamal Williams was going to score.
Man. Oh, man. It was
plus 250. He walked in here just like this.
Yeah.
Said, this guy going to score. Lot hammer it. I did, and he was this close, and then he didn't.
Damian all right, Harris. We'll see you tomorrow with all of our
Damian Harris and Jamal Williams. Yeah. I mean, both times now, it kind of feels like every time you come in with a gem, a la Gumpy, it makes a lot of sense. It just never hits for whatever reason. Maybe it's because you're cursed.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said before, who knew that the Wild Hoyer was going to run wild in the on the red zone? Like Lombardi did. They stopped giving it to Damian Harris. They got rid of the run game whenever they got close to the end zone. Made no sense. But hey, tonight. Brady's throwing a pick six, baby.
All right, let's do it.
I knew, because that's why your own team was your own undoing in the Survivor Pool, because everyone knows, Connor, everyone knew going into that game what was going to happen.
By the way, Survivor Pool's back tomorrow, because congratulations, Nick Moroto.
Congrats.
You won the Survivor Pool.
Didn't even take a plus or minus one. He said, I don't need it. I'm going to knock him out with his own team's going to lose it.
Survivor, plus one, minus one, Survivor back tomorrow.
Before
we got to put something like worth winning.
Yeah,
and Nick is not going to be happy strictly because like Nick won and we didn't have a prize.
I gave him a Tootsie Roll.
Do you want a thing? Here's a Tootsie Roll.
Oh.
Yeah, but like a real prize.
Yeah,
do like a real prize this next one.
Like a ring.
That'd be, yep, I'll get a ring.
And then
Ring.
The ring will pass. It'll be a pinky ring. It passes to the next Survivor Pool champion.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. New Survivor Pool. All the picks for the weekend. All the games we didn't talk about. There's some big ones. See you tomorrow. Hammer Don.
Hammer Don.